listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, grace to you and peace, beautiful body of Christ. How beautiful. Grace to you and peace on this Mother's Day, on the seventh Sunday of the Easter season. Grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in peace and offers us always this grace and this forgiveness and this love. Amen. For our whole season of Easter, which has been 7 weeks, 50 days, in our words of confession and forgiveness, just during the season of Easter, we started this on Easter Sunday, and then for 7 weeks, we've been doing what we always do. We gather at the font at the beginning, but there's always different language around the confession and the forgiveness. And so we did this language again today, and there's been this interesting name that we have given God in this Easter season. I'm not sure if you've noticed it. I was wondering if someone might come up and be a little concerned or upset even by it. On page 2 in the worship folder, everybody makes their confession, and then the pastor will say, "Jesus is risen indeed, and we have received the most precious blessing, life eternal in his kingdom. Neither sin nor evil has the power to separate us from the one who loves us and the one who forgives us. In the name of the triune God," and here's the thing we say, "all vulnerable creator," and then risen Christ and Holy Spirit, but "all vulnerable creator," we've been saying for 7 weeks together. Does it bother you at all that our God, the master and creator, the conductor and composer of you and me and everything in this entire cosmos, does it bother you at all that the ruler of all space and all time, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, is being described here every Sunday of Easter as vulnerable, and not just vulnerable, but all vulnerable? I mean, if you're all vulnerable, that's no place to be. That means that everything hurts you. It's like everything makes you cry if you're all vulnerable. When somebody is vulnerable, we usually talk about it in a whisper. We say, "That person's, they're a little vulnerable right now." We don't even say that word really out loud. We say, "They're pretty vulnerable right now." It's a code in a way. Go easy on them. They're pretty sensitive right now. Maybe some of us are vulnerable today on Mother's Day. If someone was describing you as vulnerable, you probably wouldn't like it. I know I wouldn't so much. Most of us, I'm guessing, unless we're really in touch with our ego and our emotions, unless we're really secure and kind of on a very, you know, high emotional intelligence, most of us, I'm guessing, would prefer not to be described as vulnerable, and certainly not all vulnerable. And yet, this is how we've been describing God through the season of Easter, all vulnerable creator. It's all been, I'd like to think, a lead up to our text for today from Philippians. Today we have the great and the oldest, probably the most ancient Christ hymn is what this reading has been called. A powerful but an offensive theological statement. Offensive in that it's a stumbling block. It's a scandal. That's a stumbling block. It's a scandal about who Jesus is, who this God is in whom we try to trust. This God is all vulnerable. Paul writes this letter, I'll remind you, from prison. He's still far away. He's still in prison now that we're in chapter 2. He's still in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving for the Christians in Philippi. If you weren't with us last week, I talked about his joy just gushing, how much he loves this congregation of Philippi. And he is still writing in this spirit of great joy. Now he's starting to give some encouragement, and he's also giving today this powerful statement of faith about this God around whom and through whom we all gather, even still today. Around this all-vulnerable God, Paul talks about how Jesus empties himself. Paul says, Jesus takes on the form of a doula, or a doulos is the Greek word for a servant, a slave. Being born in human likeness and found in human form. Saint Athanasius. Sometimes at Holy Trinity we say the Athanasian Creed. I know you all love it so much because it's 18 pages long. But we won't do that this year on Holy Trinity Sunday. But some years we do. Athanasius, Saint Athanasius described just a beautiful image, I think. Athanasius pointed out that God made a decision and decided to descend. To come down all the way from the crowns and the thrones of heaven, to descend down through all the atmospheres of our solar system. He didn't use that language about solar system, but he moved down, down, down into our cosmos, into our world and our earth, and kept descending all the way down through all the beautiful, powerful things that we have in nature and in this world, kept descending past all the creatures that were bigger and stronger, and descended down, 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 all the way to the mere human being. God chose to become the smallest, the tiniest, and we know the story of Jesus, not just a small little tiny king, but Jesus descended even through the social ladders all the way down, down to the poor, humble Jesus, and we know those stories. Powerful. Paul writes that Christ emptied himself, humbled himself, even to the point of death. Jesus became all vulnerable and calls us to do likewise, to go and follow, to empty ourselves. Huh, that's really hard to do. And that's not what we're often encouraged to do. We're encouraged to climb up and up and up, not empty ourselves. I got to get as many baseball stories in as I can. And Micah has had a lot of great baseball coaches over the years. But I think still the best one, my opinion, I don't know about Micah's, you can ask him, but my favorite still is Coach Chris, who he had a long time ago when he was in Caps. And Coach Chris was such a great coach because he would always encourage and applaud the kids for a good instinct or a good move. I mean, it wasn't always just a good play, but even if they have a good instinct, he would always applaud them for something. And then he would give them a little tip to grow on. And sometimes that can be perceived a little like a endlessly dissatisfied parent that you can never please or something. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like, I got all A's except for one A minus. Well, get that A minus in order. It wasn't that. It was much more of he was a good coach. He wanted to teach the kids about the game, and he did that. Great catch, Micah, he'd say, great catch. Now, next time, after you make the catch, take a look over at the base runner and see if you might throw him out. It's just the next level of the game, and that's how it works. That's what made him such a good coach. This is how we learn. And Paul is doing the same thing, I think, in this letter to the Philippians. I am so thankful for you, he says. Sisters and brothers in Christ, I am so thankful for the ministry that we share together. I thank God every time I think of you for your good ministry in the gospel. Thank you for that. Great catch, he says. Great catch. Now, here's something to work on. Here's something to work on. This God of ours, you see, descends all the way down, 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 down to our level. This God of ours is Jesus the Christ, who empties himself, who pours himself out, who humbles himself even unto death. Follow him. This is good. Now, here's the next thing. Follow this one Jesus who pours himself out, Coach Paul says to us. Trust him. Even when the world says we should trust other things, I'm telling you guys, like a good coach, I'm telling you, trust this one. Trust this one above all others. Trust this all vulnerable, self-emptying doulos who gets down on his knees and washes his students' feet. He even washes the feet of his betrayers. That's the next step, something to grow on, huh? This is something new, too. This is something very different. This is unlike any earthly ruler, any earthly deity, actually. There's lots of gods through history. There are lots of things that people bow down to. And they're always described as almighty and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. I mean, there's nothing new there. But show me a God who is also described as all emptying, all vulnerable, all obedient even unto death. This is our God. It was several years ago here at Shepherd of the Valley that we were looking at the budget, like we do every year in September and October, getting ready for a congregational meeting and a big vote in November. Several years ago, I don't remember exactly how many, but things were looking tight. I want to say it was about 2013, 14, something like that. Things were looking tight, as they often do when you look at the budget. Kind of, oh man, what are we going to do? We were possibly on the brink at that time of starting a capital campaign. Can you imagine that? And then maybe even moving into a big construction project. Do you remember that? And we as a council were really struggling with a big question. We were considering cutting our $12,000 a year annual benevolence to Third Avenue Charitable Organization. We were thinking about cutting that in half. It was a tough decision, and it was a tough conversation, and we were going around about it. We wanted to be sensible and prudent. It seemed that we were all of one mind, that this really needed to happen, that we should do this. None of us wanted to do it, but it seemed like in being good stewards and in taking care of this place and the future and what God had in store for us next, it seemed like we were going to have to do that. We were going to have to cut the $12,000 down to $6,000. And I don't remember who, but in the course of all those conversations, and it was really a season of discussing that, it wasn't one single meeting, but I remember in the course of all those discussions, someone put forward, a council member put forward this beautiful image that I remember. It's like a fruit tree, this person said. It's like our church is a tree, and our benevolence to Taco, and to all, this isn't about Taco, to all the different ways that we can reach out and serve in the world, our benevolence to all these other places are like the fruits of our solidity and our strength and our health. So this gift to Taco is kind of like one of the fruits, and sometimes we can produce these great fruits, but right now, it just seems like we need to pull back. We just need to prune a little bit and strengthen our roots, our trunk, our core. And I remember, that's so beautiful. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. It's not what we want, but it makes a lot of sense. But it was Lois Helberg. How can we have a Mother's Day at Shepherd of the Valley and not talk about Lois Helberg? It was Lois Helberg who was on the council that year, and she didn't agree with what we were talking about. Someone needs to write this down on our timeline, because this is part of the history, I think, of Shepherd of the Valley. Lois Helberg, for those of you who don't know who she is, she was one of our longest time members. She didn't join at the beginning as a charter member. This is our timeline on the back wall here. But I think she joined in like 63 or 64 or something. I mean, she was there way, way back, raised her children in this congregation. She was welcoming and loving and strong, as you all remember who knew her. She started Agape House with Lars. Did you know that? She started Agape House. I mean, what a wonderful tradition. Betty Corsi, part of Taco, George Falk with... Well, so much for being humble, right? Great roots here at Shepherd of the Valley, though. So anyway, Lois started Agape House. She's taught Sunday school. She read. She was a lector here at church on Sunday. She served on lots of different committees over the years. And we were blessed to get her on council for just a few years before she died in 2015, I think it was. So it was just a couple years. And I don't even think she could finish her term because she got sick. But... she was on council with us for just a few years, and it was probably her third or fourth time to serve, all those years coming through on council. And Lois was also a mother and a grandmother. She was a strong mother who wasn't afraid to speak up when something was bothering her, right? And something about that image, I thought, a great image of a tree with the fruits as our benevolence, our proceeds, was mixed up for Lois. So she spoke up at that meeting. No, Mother Lois says, that's backwards. Our benevolence, our generosity, our love for others beyond ourselves, it's not a fruit at the end of the branch, which might show up some years and some other years maybe not. No, Lois said, our generosity and benevolence, our love for the others beyond ourselves, is our trunk and our roots. That is at the center of who we are. That's everything that we are about as the Church of Jesus Christ. Giving ourselves away is at the core of who we are as Christians, Lois reminded us prophetically. And uncomfortably. I was like, oh, well. Benevolence and justice is at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church's center. It's part of our story. Put that on the timeline. Supporting organizations like TACO is our trunk. And to cut our benevolence is not just to do a little bit of pruning. It is to cut our heart in half. Sharing everything that we have with our neighbor and even our enemies is what Jesus did and calls us to do. It's all here in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And it's got encouragement in that letter too. Despite the challenge and the fear that's always involved with trusting God, despite the challenge and the fear, there's also joy. I mean, that's all here in Paul's letter to the Philippians. How true that is. Since there is encouragement, Paul says, since there is encouragement in Christ, since there's consolation from love, since there's sharing in the Spirit, since there is compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, Paul says. And I looked up a different translation, Gene Peterson, just curious always how he reads that. What does that mean, make my joy complete? Eugene Peterson says, since all those things, since there's so much love here, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. That's how he translates it. And he goes on, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Isn't that an amazing translation for this passage from Philippians? Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. That's his translation. In other words, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who gave himself away. Jesus is our trunk. Jesus is our center. And what do we see when we look to Jesus? We see someone who empties himself and then calls and commissions us to follow after that example. Not as impersonators, but as imitators. There's a difference, you see. None of us is Christ, but we are coached to be like Christ. And that means humble, vulnerable, generous, forgiving, and emptying always. And we, sisters and brothers in Christ, are already joined to this Christ, who is our trunk, who is our center. We are joined, you see, because of the waters of baptism. We are joined in these waters to the one who empties himself for others in all vulnerability. We are already connected to that divine vulnerability. So this is a good day. It is a day of benevolence and a day of grace. Amen.
At Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!